Well, ladies, welcome back. I am sitting here with Connie Stampfel. Hi, Connie. How are you doing?
Hello, Amy. I am well. Thank you.
That is awesome. We're talking about lesson number 30 today that you're going to teach from Genesis 18. Tell us a little bit about what we might learn.
Well, we're going to find more about the promised birth of Isaac.
All right. We're just going to take a little part of 18 today and continue the rest next time. Genesis 18, we're going to start with verses 1 through 15, but we'll be covering a little bit more. And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre as he sat by the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves. And after that, you may pass on since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly to the tent of Sarah and said, Quick, three seeths of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, Where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, She is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, After I am worn out, and my Lord is old, shall I have the pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh and say, Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, No, but you did laugh.
Thank you, Amy. And I think we'll talk about the last part of the reading here first, because we have this account of Sarah listening at the tent door, overhearing the men's conversation, and laughing when she hears that she is to have a child. And it really seems to perhaps be initially a laugh of disbelief, or at least, again, it's hard for her to believe that this will happen. She's been barren her entire life, and then now the Lord is promising she, woman who's 89 years old, is going to have a son. And then we find God saying something that's really important, and we find this repeated throughout Scripture, and the thought is, the question is there anything too hard for the Lord?
Yeah.
And it's a rhetorical question, because the answer is no, mm-hmm. Not with what is consistent with the Lord's nature. I mean, God can't sin and he can't do stupid things, but he can do whatever his will is.
Yes.
And having an 89-year-old woman and a 99-year-old man have a child is possible for God. So that's a good word for us to remember. And we
yes.
find several scriptures that help us remember that. And so, Amy, if you just read the Jeremiah passage and the Romans one, and then I'll go back and talk about the rest of the scripture here we have.
Sure. Jeremiah 32:17 says, Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Romans chapter 4, verse 16, that is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which is as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised.
Thank you, Amy. And I think as we work through these passages in Genesis, we're going to see that the faith of Abraham and the faith of Sarah did grow. They took God at his word. He accomplished and did what he said he would. And the result is a beautiful example of faith, faith in our mighty God.
Yes.
Going back to the first part of the chapter, though, we have this interesting encounter of Abraham seeing three visitors coming to visit him, and he recognizes their importance immediately. He runs. Here we have a 99-year-old man running to meet them, and then he says, let me provide a little bit for you. Well, he actually provides extravagantly for
yes.
them, and he shows extreme hospitality because I believe he understands who these men are, at least that they're very important. And as we go through the rest of the passage, we're going to find he's responding to the lead one as the Lord
yes.
as Jesus Christ himself, the pre-incarnate Christ. And so we understand that these three men, one is the pre-incarnate Christ, and then two are angels
yes.
because of what's going to happen. And it's a beautiful thing. We find, again, the Lord is appearing to Abraham, and he's teaching him something more. And we're going to then go into the next part of the passage where we're going to find out a little bit more about why God is visiting Abraham and what his intent is at this point.
Yes, we're going to pick it up in Genesis 18 at verse 16 and finish this part out today. It says, "Then the men set out from there, and they looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to set them on their way. The Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great man and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and be and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what was promised to him.' Then the Lord said, 'Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know.'"
Thank you, Amy. So here we have the Lord revealing to Abraham what his plans are going to be, plans for judgment on those cities, those wicked, wicked cities in the plain next to the Salt Sea or the Dead Sea. And remember, Lot is living in Sodom, and Abraham has already rescued Lot once.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
We find, of course, Abraham's concern is definitely going to be for Lot, his nephew here. But as we look to what is going on, we find that the Lord is talking about how he values Abraham, a relationship with
yeah.
Abraham. Abraham is his friend, and he has chosen him. He's known Abraham. He's set him in a special place, and Abraham has responded in faith. And we're going to, as we go through this, and when we meet again, we're going to be talking about just this interaction and prayer of Abraham and how he trusts in who God is and realizes he can talk to him and God will respond to him. But we find that there is a very important thing going on here where the Lord says he's revealing to Abraham something because Abraham's a prophet.
Yes. There is a verse in Amos 3, verse 7, "For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants and the prophets."
Yes. And so, and we also know that God says he's going to bless Abraham and he's going to be the father of this multitude and he's going to be the father of faith. But we also know that God finds Abraham faithful because, in general, mostly he's obeying God and doing what God says. And Nehemiah speaks again about how Abraham was faithful before God.
It says in Nehemiah 9, verses 7 through 8, "You are the Lord, the God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you."
Thank you. And then we find finally at the end of this passage, the reason God is coming down to visit or look or check out the evil of Sodom and Gomorrah is because it is very great. It's reached its limit. God is now going to judge. And we've had several instances here in Genesis talking about their evil. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at a passage in Ezekiel, which will also kind of flesh out some of what that evil was. And I think truly, those cities were evil in every possible way you could be evil.
Yeah, I think so too. Ezekiel 16, verses 49 and 50 say, "Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy. They were haughty and did an abomination before me, so I removed them when I saw it."
All right. And so we find pride, rebellion, disregard for other people, sexual sins, just everything. And so that's why they're going to be destroyed. Mm-hmm. Truly, as we look at this, we need to perhaps just consider again how God acts in the world. He's perfectly just and righteous. And what he says he's going to do, he will do.
Yes, he does. Well, ladies, I hope you can tune in for the next time, too, because we're going to be continuing on with this righteous prayer of Abraham for the city of Sodom. But until then, we've got some work to do. So Nancy and I will be back in just a few minutes to talk a little bit more about this lesson and what else can we learn from this today. We'll be right back.